Hey guys, I have a special friend on with me today on today's podcast episode. This person I watch from a distance and I just love the way that she does family. I love the way that she has cultivated just traditions for her family. So I wanted to bring her on so that if any of you guys are looking for traditions to do with your family during this Christmas season, there's no better person to bring on here to talk about family other than Mrs. Kelly Hale. So Kelly, I'm going to have you just go ahead and introduce yourself for our listeners that maybe don't know you or haven't listened to your podcast episode that we have here already on A Walk with Friends.
So thank you, Marcella. I'm so happy to be here. Like she said, I'm Kelly Hale. I'm a children's pastor at Lifesong Church in Stockton, California, and it's a great joy of mine. I am a wife to Roy. I have 5 beautiful children and 8 grandchildren that are the apples of my eye. So yeah, I'm very excited to be back on.
You just had 2 little new ones, right?
Yes. We have Shiloh and she's the newest. I have to think about it when you have 8. Shiloh is the newest. And then I have 2 10-month-old grand baby boys. They're the newest. But yeah, 8 altogether.
So special. Wow. Just so amazing. I am newly married, like under 5 years, so like 4 years, and we haven't started any Christmas traditions. But as a wife, I feel this pressure of like, oh gosh, like I want to bring traditions into my family. I want to start doing something that I could pass on to my children. And I feel like as a believer, there are so many specific traditions that are so cool to pass on to our kids. I feel like the way that God has structured family and blessed family, I feel like it's something we all truly long for that connection and to make memories. Could you share your heart a little bit on your background in family traditions and why is this important to you, or why have you cultivated traditions in your family?
Absolutely. Yeah. Great questions. Great observations. So growing up, we had the traditional, we had some probably what everybody has, getting our Christmas tree, decorating. I believe that we got new pajamas on Christmas Eve. That was like a big deal. So we had a few, but it wasn't until I got saved and I met my friend Beth Lambden, who her mother passed on these just amazing traditions that were very Christ-centered. For Easter, for Christmas. And I just thought, wow, I would have never thought about that. And there's so much to it and there's so much depth. And I would watch her family and I just loved that. Yes, the kids got excited, but more than just, you know, going to get the Christmas tree, there was depth to it.
Right.
And it slowed everything down and just made Christ the center, because, you know, we can kind of miss the meaning because things get so busy and, you know, we're shopping and we're moms and we're going to get the groceries for like
Absolutely.
Thanksgiving, that we can miss the whole entire meaning of why we're doing it.
Yeah.
So that's what really got me. I'm like, I like this. This will force me. You know, I wanted to, but it will put it on the calendar. Like my friend Beth said, if it's not on the calendar, it doesn't happen.
Absolutely.
So we get it on the calendar and we would do it. And I just loved it. And so did my kids, because they could be a part of it.
Could you share a little bit about maybe how you think your kids have been affected by the traditions?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, it's been so neat to watch my 3 older married children start this tradition of Advent. It's a couple of other things with their own kids. You know, because you hope they do, but they have their own families, and I respect that.
That's true.
So to see that, it was just, to see my grandkids doing Advent and lighting the candle, it just, you know, it honestly makes me tear up. It's the second generation. It's honestly hard to believe, but it's so neat, and it shows that it impacted them. Because, you know, like I said, I may or may not have given them a gift of an Advent wreath, you know, to encourage them, but it doesn't mean they had to do it, right? So that they want to do it and they're adopting these things.
So true.
And I was going to say, you know, too, you know, we can get this on the calendar and be purposeful, and it's deep and Christ-centered, and that alone can maybe overwhelm some people. But
sure.
I just, the biggest point, and we'll get more into it a little bit about the details, but in any family tradition, done is better than perfect. And if you're together, if you're just together, because, you know, we assume, oh, we're together. You can be in the same household all day and not be together, right?
That's
because
so
we're
true.
All, we're working, mom come home, she's making dinner, kids are doing homework.
Yes.
And we didn't really connect, right?
That's good.
And so I love that these traditions, generally, you're all together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're going somewhere. you are doing something at home, you're slowing down. Everybody, it's not just mom and dad teaching from the word, you know,
right.
The kids are involved. That was huge to me that
they're involved.
Watched that the children were involved. That stuck. That made it fun. So
wow.
There's just so many elements.
And you sent me a picture, Kelly, of, I think it was Gigi next to the candles. And I know Gigi, teenager, Gianna. And I saw her as a little kid gazing at the candles. We're going to talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
And I just thought to myself, she's going to look back at that picture and just remember
Absolutely.
The years of the intentionality that mom and dad. And, you know, yes, it's busy. And yes, this is something we stop to do. But you cannot. I believe that we long for those memories.
Yeah.
And we want those memories with our family. And so when I saw Gigi's picture, I was like, oh my gosh, like every kid should have a picture doing something like this, you know?
Well, I just think that it's, you know, if you look back, I'm praying and I'm hoping that it was a point of contact when they experienced the Lord.
Wow.
You know, or encountered him or they felt a certain way. Because really, you know, you dim the lights and, you know, you make it special, right?
Yeah.
And for little kids, that doesn't take much sometimes, you know?
Yeah,
or just nowadays. To be honest, turning off the TV, let's just be real, turning off the TV and lighting a candle and turning on some, it does something, right?
That's
it
so
does
amazing.
Something.
Can you tell me, what is Advent? If you could simple forms, tell me, what is Advent? And then maybe we can go into the description of how we maybe could start implementing Advent starting today.
Yeah. Okay.
Until Christmas.
Yeah. So a lot of you might think, oh, it's Advent, I don't do it, but you'd probably be surprised to know that Advent is really common. If you guys have ever seen maybe the big, it's like an Advent calendar around Christmas, Trader Joe's.
I see them at Trader Joe's, yeah.
Right? And then the little windows open up, you take out a chocolate, that's basically Advent. So it's a Latin word, Adventus, and it just means coming, the coming of something.
Wow.
So in this case, you know, even
that's
those
so
little
exciting.
Advent little chocolates, you know, it's the coming of Christmas Day on the 25th. So you're counting down, you know, so it means coming.
Wow.
And, you know, the Advent that we celebrate, it's the four Sundays before Christmas. And it's just to slow down and to say, you know, let's look into this a little deeper. So Christ, you know, we're reliving it all again. Christ came, right, for sinners, for the lost, right? So we're looking forward to his coming, but it's twofold for us believers, because we're not only looking for the baby Jesus who already came, we're looking for his second coming.
Amen.
So it's just so, it's so amazing. It's so amazing.
That brings such a solid lesson for children, because I think everyone that is kind of, you know, well, not everyone, but Christians, we know we're celebrating the birth of Christ, but the word Advent, for that to mean coming, we know that's huge in scripture, to wait, to be ready for the second coming of the Lord. So to know that as a little child, not only did Jesus come, but he's coming back.
Absolutely.
That's such a huge lesson point.
Yeah.
And I do want to read something from the paper that you gave me, and it's called Enjoying Advent, but the first paragraph really touched me, and I'm like, man, I want to share this. Advent, by definition, as you said, is a coming into place or on arrival. Knowing something is on its way creates excitement, longing, expectation, and joy. This was true for the people of Israel as they waited for the arrival of the Messiah. But even though they watched and waited, longed and anticipated, this part really got me, many missed the event when it occurred because their hearts weren't prepared. So I love that you mentioned the second coming, because it's really easy to get caught up in the hustle and bustle, especially in the country we live in. It's very, you know, we love doing the gifts and the parties and the traveling and the celebrations, but it does slow us down, like you said, to remember the second coming and get our hearts prepared for Jesus.
Yeah.
What would it look like, Kelly, on a Sunday if I wanted to start this tonight?
Okay.
What would it look like?
Yeah, so it would look like, you know, some form of everything. You know, I really love symbolism too, because I do believe that when you're symbolic about things, it's a point of a tangible contact of something that the kids are going to remember, or we are.
Right.
You know, so a circle evergreen wreath, you know, simply just do that yourself, go get it. It's evergreen, everlasting life.
Oh.
It's a circle. God has no beginning and no end. So it's circle.
Wow.
So that's symbolic. Some people people put the little red berries in them, and that can symbolize the blood of Jesus.
Wow.
And then five candles. So four leading up to, you know, the four Sundays, and sometimes it is like today it falls on November 27th and leading up to Christmas Eve. So four candles, and then there's a center candle, which is the Christ candle, which is Christmas Day, because that would be the end of, okay, we're here. This is what
is
we've been waiting for.
Would you just put a candle, let's just say, I'm thinking of a big wide candle that can stand on its own. Mm-hmm. You'd put those four in a circle and then one in the center.
You could do that.
Okay. Or uh-huh. How do you set
well,
it up?
Well, you could actually purchase, you can actually look up Google Advent. You know, Hobby Lobby has them sometimes.
Okay.
So you can make your own, the skinny taper candles. Some of the colors are also very symbolic. I think traditionally it's three purple and one pink.
Could you explain why we would get three purple?
Yeah, three pink. Purple would be the more penance,
okay.
You know, the mourning type of, oh, we're waiting, we're in darkness, you know. Mm-hmm. And then the joy candle, which is the pink candle, it's the joy. Right.
Wow.
So there's, again, symbols. And some people, like, I remember it was funny because my friend, when she introduced this, she's like, these are the, you know, the colors. And at that, I'm really type A and all that. And I'm like, pink, purple, that's not going to go with my Christmas decor. And she kind of looked at me like, oh, brother, Kelly, you can do red
so
and white
funny.
And green if you want. But really, it's up to you. It's just, you know, but each candle, each week, it's hope, love, joy, and peace. And, the scripture, you know, it's leading up to the Christmas
so let's
day when
say
Jesus
tonight
was born.
We're doing mm-hmm. one candle. Could you tell us where we might be able to find this pamphlet of the simple directions of what we would do each weekend?
Right. So the candle lighting always stays the same, and it's always like we light the first candle of Advent, the candle of hope. And then each Sunday it'll be the same. So again, you can Google just Advent for kids or Advent wreath, and it will have the directions for that, and you can get as deep as you want to or as simple as you want to.
Okay.
For example, the candle of hope. This candle reminds us that God made a promise to his people. He gave them hope by promising to send a Messiah. Let hope enter our hearts as we wait for the Messiah, Jesus Christ, to come again. So have one of the children light the candle. Then there's discussion, then there's questions to draw them in, and then there's praise and worship. And there probably anything you look up, it's going to give you scripture. So
okay.
There's a reason why we start with hope. The people were in darkness. They were waiting for a savior, right? Isaiah 9 and Luke 19:10. And you would read those scriptures like hope, kids. What is hope? It's a longing. It's a waiting. What were they waiting for? They were in darkness. You know, they didn't have them. He wasn't there.
Right.
So that's why. So it's an anticipation. It's a buildup. There's hope.
Wow.
Right. And so there will always be a scripture reading. I believe the songs and discussion, you know, those that might be in some, and then prayer at the end.
And there's questions here on mm-hmm. the Day of Hope. So these would be some questions that we could ask our children or our spouse if you're not, you don't have kids yet. And it's just
right.
us two. Some questions that we would ask is, and it says, set aside a few minutes to reflect on hope. What is the connection between waiting and hope? What do you think the psalmist says? Why do you think the psalmist says, I wait and my soul waits? Mm-hmm. What is the difference? Where should our hope be placed? Mm-hmm. So good. In the aspects of life, do you need to wait for the Lord today? In what truths of God's word do you need to hope in today? So those are just some examples of questions on the one you gave me. And mm-hmm. I love that. Like you said, it brings this depth to something. And so we're asking, not only are we lighting a candle of hope, but we're asking ourselves these questions.
Right.
Where do we put our hope in this season?
Huh?
So do you have something that guides you through the songs? Do you just use the ones in the pamphlet?
I just kind of use the ones in the pamphlet that we've been using this one. And again, my friend Beth, actually, she said that when her kids were little and she was doing this tradition with them, there were no real books for little children on Advent. They were pretty heady and mm-hmm. just deep. And she's like, I'm going to just create. And that's what she did.
Oh, create that?
She created this.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Shout out to
Beth Lambden.
Beth Lambden.
Yeah, for creating something.
Oh my gosh.
And there's one just for families, and there's actually a smaller children one.
Could
too.
People find that anywhere? Does she
you
have
know
it
what?
Anywhere?
I believe
for sale
it's so she does have a ministry called Inspire Ministries, and a website, I believe, and Beth Lambden. You could actually just, she would love, you could just find her on Facebook and ask her. She loves to talk about this. I mean, she's, hundreds of us are doing this, and she would probably be
How
so blessed.
How cool. And yeah. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, Kelly has a red booklet in her hand that has the days guiding through, I'm sorry, like it would be the Sundays, each day each guided day. Through what you would do. So right. It just kind of makes it very easy to follow. Very and then, easy. You, like you said, you can add to it or, you know, pull back on the depth.
That's right.
But it's very simple, and it's something to follow along with as you go if you want that option. So I'm going to include that in. So this is awesome because, like I said, we haven't started any traditions yet. And I think the simple act of lighting a candle as a family and saying this is the candle of hope and then love and then joy and then peace.
And you keep lighting them. So like next Sunday, you'll light hope when the hope and then it'll be the new candle. So each Sunday you're lighting them all again and you're able to see, you know, we just would let it burn for a while and that's when we would talk and pray and have
and sing. Them. Mm-hmm. And then what's the last candle?
The last candle is the candle of... I think love. I want to say that. Well, no, the very last candle is the Christ candle. And
could you tell me?
And that's on Christmas
what
Day.
What are each candle? What is each candle?
So there's hope, then, and that's purple. And then there's purple, another purple candle, which is love. The third candle, pink, symbolizes joy, the joy that we find in Christ and his coming. And the fourth candle, purple again, symbolizes peace, the peace that comes in knowing Christ as Lord and Savior. And then the fifth candle is always white, the Christ candle, which symbolizes purity.
Wow. Yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah.
And I do want to share one time.
Yeah.
Gianna, she actually have a picture of it on Facebook, and I had gone into this little closet that we have downstairs, and she had an elf on the shelf or whatever, but it blessed me so much. Picture this in your mind, you guys. So I walked in, I see the elf on the shelf sitting there. She had like this little dollhouse fireplace by it. She had taken a little piece of paper and copied this devotional, right? I mean, just the front of it, and Jesus came, an Advent devotional with the picture. And then she had like the countdown, and she had my glasses, my reading glasses, a couple books, a Bible, and my devotional. And she was having an Advent and a couple of Barbies, I think. And she was having an Advent service for her dolls and the elf on the shelf. And that to me, I was just like, okay, Lord,
wow,
I'm doing something right. You know what I mean? Our kids are imitators.
Wow. You
know, and even if Beth would always tell me some of the kids are little and they're not paying attention and maybe, you know, but they're still going to feel it and get it, you know, excuse the little kids and have discussions with the older kids or, you know, and like Marcella said, if you don't have children yet, you know, you and your husband, it bonds you together. And it's good to just talk about these things because we have good intentions. It's Christmas time and it's, you know, but we just can get lost in a lot
and
of it.
And it's a great way, Kelly, to savor the season.
Yes.
And I know some of us go to church and we're, you know, our church personally decorates. And so it's like just this celebration of seasons in our lives. But I feel like this will really help us as a family to savor the season and savor the memories that we have together. This is so precious.
Yeah.
Thank you for teaching on it or just even giving us something that we could possibly take and bring into our families. Absolutely. And I think any family can do this no matter your size. And if you wanted to tweak it a little bit, but just the idea of pausing, lighting a candle, talking, sharing, worshiping together on that one subject, and then that anticipation of the coming of the Lord, and then preparing our hearts even for the second return of the Lord. Any encouragement that you have for families that are doing them, anything at all you'd like to share on traditions?
I just think it's so important, you know, especially Easter, Christmas, you know, as believers, you know, those really important holidays, you know, and traditions that make our faith what it is, you know, and which, like, we have like I said, we could go back and just say, I don't know, and things around your home and your kids pass by it and they see it and it's just like a remembrance. I have it on the tip of my tongue, a remembrance stone, you know what I mean?
Right.
To say, oh, we did this and we, you know, give, like I said, give your kids a Advent wreath, you know, encourage them, help them, you know, because it is when you're a mom. I've got several daughters and daughter-in-laws and they've got little ones and they're probably like, yeah, right, I would love to do that. But done is better than perfect.
Okay.
Just do something.
Even how you said, you know, the evergreen and Christ is eternal.
Yeah.
I'm like thinking about it myself. If I had that evergreen, it brings that tangible contact of,
yes,
contact of Christ is eternal.
Absolutely.
Bringing it into someone's hand and just saying it, the I don't know, just the object with something that could be harder to understand.
Yes. And that's, I'm huge on really objects, cool, right? And visuals, maybe because I'm a visual learner. One of the children raised their hand today and, in kids church, and I'm like, wow, they give me a run for my money. Sometimes they're like, did you know that Jesus's birthday was not actually on December 25th? And we were talking about different things, and they, yes, said, I don't know that it says in the Bible something. And then anyway,
how awesome.
So we were talking about Christmas trees. Mm-hmm. So take the Christmas tree. Okay, everybody, you go get a Christmas tree. Most people do, you know, around Christmas, but there's so many symbolisms that you can put Jesus into it.
Right.
What's the shape? It's a triangle, yeah, right? It's triune.
So good.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's green, I was telling the kids. It never, like, some trees die or they change. Like, no, it stays green.
Evergreen.
It's evergreen, right? The,
wow,
lights. Jesus is the light of the world. He came into the dark. He came. Yes. He was the light. We have lights on the tree. There's gifts underneath. Jesus is the best gift of all. The wise,
wow,
men brought Jesus gifts. The berries, the candy cane. Oh my goodness, the candy cane. Don't even, let's not even start with the candy cane.
The blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus. You keep licking it.
The
turns
red
white.
And white.
For purity.
Wow.
It's a shepherd's staff. The shepherds were the first one to hear about the birth of Jesus. You turn a candy cane around, it's a J for Jesus. So that might,
amazing,
seem like, oh brother, but the thing is why can't we take, mm-hmm, what's all around us, right? That the world just says, oh, it's just a candy cane. You know, what? Why can't we make it into something,
right,
where our
and
kids
it's
have
a teaching
point
moment.
It's a teaching moment, right?
Yeah. And it makes it so much more special. These things are around,
does,
us all over,
they're
the
around
place
us anyway, right?
Right.
You know?
But to get that meaning, it really can help us to concentrate and focus on,
yeah,
on,
absolutely,
the Lord at this time. And,
yeah,
when you said evergreen, I didn't even think about the fact that a Christmas tree is an evergreen,
mm-hmm,
and it never turns, changes. And so,
yeah. Yeah.
That's a message in itself. And,
yeah,
it's almost like making these mini sermons,
absolutely,
out of these things that are around your home,
yeah,
as a family.
Right.
I love, mm-hmm, that, Kelly. I've never heard those things that you talked about, like those little
yeah,
mini sermons on each of that.
Mm-hmm.
What teaching moments for little kids.
Right. And I thought of this after the fact, but as you're doing Advent, a lot of you have nativities, and a lot of people will take the baby Jesus and they won't put him in the nativity yet. They'll wait,
okay,
until Christmas Eve or Christmas Day.
Right.
Like Jesus won't be there.
Yeah.
Right? The little,
yeah,
manger will be there,
mm-hmm,
and the animals, but he's not there yet. And so it gives the kids
anticipation.
Like, oh, we're anticipating. It's getting closer.
Wow, I
he's
love
coming.
That.
He's coming. And like with us as believers, he's coming. You know,
oh,
he's coming.
Oh my gosh.
So to just have that, you know, that realization. Yeah, it can be really exciting.
These are some very practical things we can do with, right, a candy cane to teach, a teaching moment for our children.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then cool too is their kids, I mean, sorry, their friends around them.
Yep.
They'll probably teach their friends, and
right,
it's a ministering moment for them.
It is. It's a really good time too, Advent, to bring in somebody new,
mm-hmm,
to the faith, or,
mm-hmm,
you know, your neighbor, you know, and have, mm-hmm, them join in. They've probably never experienced anything like that. And the,
yes,
love of Jesus just, it flows. Some people do this at dinner time. Or at dessert.
And so if you're having friends over.
Right. And having friends, hey, we're doing Advent or whatever. And, you know, and I want to say too, you don't have to get, yes, it is on Sundays, usually the four Sundays before. But like for us, we're a ministry family. My daughter actually has youth group on Sunday.
Mm.
So it's okay to do it Monday night. But
love
maybe
it.
Just do it, you know, do,
yeah,
it one day out of the week when some people do it at breakfast time, whatever works for your
done
family.
Is better than don't, perfect.
Done is better than,
yeah,
perfect.
I
don't get
it.
So hung up on the day, or the Lord sees our heart. He,
yeah,
sees our effort that we're making,
yeah,
to include him, and he's not going to disappoint us,
yeah,
in that.
That's so good. Thank, yeah, you so much, Kelly.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Drew's,
yeah, and
there.
I will say Hobby Lobby sells the candles. The,
oh,
pink, the purple and
really,
yeah, they usually
the
do
the actual Advent candles.
Uh-huh, they do.
Okay.
They're just the colors, you know, you can get your own, but I know that they do, and they even have some wreaths already done and everything.
Mm.
So,
and,
yeah,
even those candies from Trader Joe's, the tree, I,
yeah,
was even thinking you can do attach a scripture to each day.
You can
open it, read it as,
right,
a scripture. You know, there's so many ways we can make this special,
so
and,
many
and
ways.
Remember,
uh-huh,
the meaning and the reason why we're celebrating, and just make it super special for our families.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thank, yep, you, Kelly, for coming,
welcome,
on.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right, guys, until next time, keep on walking.